Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, text number 1, 2 and 3. We will chant the first verse. No. The third verse. The first two verses have been chanted yesterday? No. So I'll just chant them and then we'll chant the third verse together. Shukdev Goswami continued, O Maharaj Parikshit, when the Yamalarjuna trees fell, all the covered men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound and fearing thunderbolts, went to the spot. Text 2. There they saw the fallen Yamalarjuna trees on the ground, but they were bewildered because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause for their having done so. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Considering all the circumstances, had this been done by Krishna? He was standing on the spot and his playmates described that this had been done by him. Had Krishna actually done this or were these merely stories? This was a cause of bewilderment. Text 3. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was bound by the rope of the Ulukkhala, the mortar, which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who had actually done it? Where was the source for this incident? Considering all these astounding things, the covered men were doubtful and bewildered. Purport, the covered men were very much agitated because the child Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees. And if by chance the trees had fallen upon him, he would have been smashed. But he was standing as he was, and still the things had happened. So who had done all this? How could these events have happened in such a wonderful way? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated and bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God, so that nothing had happened to him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Etkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Vishesha Shunyavadi Pavchate Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I want to thank all the devotees of ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Manor for your wonderful services and for giving me a chance to serve you again. The respect, love and affection that I receive here is overwhelming. I don't deserve it, but I'm very grateful to all of you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. This is the most beautiful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. And within the 10th canto, the childhood pastimes of Krishna. And this chapter is specifically titled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. And all of us know that our USP in ISKCON, the unique selling point, every organization has their USP. So they always want to show how they're better than their competitors. They have something special about them, which stands out. So as a spiritual organization, our USP is ultimately Krishna. It all boils down to Krishna. So whatever we may say, we may do many things, everything ultimately is for Krishna's pleasure. It is Krishna. And the condensed, most nectarine form of Krishna is visible in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And within Srimad Bhagavatam, the most beautiful face of Krishna is compared with the 10th canto. And here such sweet childhood pastimes of Krishna have been described. And in this chapter especially, there is a lot of analysis now going to happen on how Krishna could break this Yamalarjuna trees. What happened? And there's always a post-mortem analysis done after all events. So in Vrindavan, everybody is doing this all the time, always talking about Krishna. They are fully Krishna conscious. And in this chapter, they are now going to discuss how this is not a safe place. They need to leave Gokula and then go to Vrindavan. And also, we will hear in future classes how Krishna would kill Vatsasur and Bakasur. And here in this verse, we see there is discussion going on. How could this happen? And the coward men and women, they are astounded. They are bewildered. How could Krishna do this? So, when the Vrindavan residents are talking about Krishna, they are actually experiencing Krishna. And this is what Rupa Goswami defines in the Nectar of Devotion, which is the manual for all ISKCON devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was giving initiation to Srila Prabhupada, he told him to read Nectar of Devotion regularly. And Srila Prabhupada translated Rupa Goswami's Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu as Nectar of Devotion, which is where we learn how to love Krishna. That is a whole book on the science of loving Krishna. And right in the very first verse, how does Rupa Goswami define Krishna? He defines Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Akhila means all. Rasamrita means nectar of rasa. Murti means personification. Krishna is the personification of all rasas. He is the personified form of all mellows, all juice, rasa. Now this is a very interesting... This is a very interesting term, rasa. What does it mean? In fact, there is no English equivalent of this word, rasa. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada kindly translated this word as mellow. And we use different terms. Rasa means juice, literally. And if you see, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, the word rasa or the juice or the mellow, this had only connotation in the literatures. In Sahitya, in Sanskrit poetry and different dramas, they were considered to be filled with rasa or juice or mellow. Or in other words, rasa basically means emotional fulfillment. Now this term was never used by practitioners of bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first time said to Rupa Goswami when he was instructing him, how rasa, bhakti is filled with rasa, emotional fulfillment. Now, this was part of Sahitya, literatures, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami have established that bhakti is filled with rasa. In fact, bhakti is not only rasa, bhakti is the only rasa. Now, what happens generally, all spiritualists in this world, they over on two extremes. Either they deny emotions, saying it's all material, or they go to the other extreme of eulogizing mundane emotions as all in all. But Krishnaizing, spiritualizing emotions, which is rasa, which is our USP. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada in the Parampara has taught us how, through Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, how we can all find this emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness, how we can connect to Krishna, spiritualize our emotions. Now, in this world also there is rasa. There is some juice we experience in some activity or, you know, for example, if you keep a mango here. Now, this is the mango season in India. A mango is very popular. Now, we are attracted to a mango not because of the color of the mango or the fragrance or the shape. There is something in it. What is that? Rasa, the juice, the taste. So, that attracts us to a mango. Similarly, every activity we do in this world or every relationship we enter into, it has some rasa, some juice, some mellow, some excitement. And we want to establish relationship. So because we experience, like we are, you know, in India, people are attracted to cricket. It's a very popular sport. Like in England, I think it's soccer. So there is a rasa we experience. There is some taste. Now the problem is, in this material world, all the relationships that we enter into seeking pleasure, seeking rasa, they have limitations. They are called as chapala sukha. They give some pleasure initially and then it becomes very stifling. It chokes us. Like, you have a chewing gum, bubble gum. The children, they chew it and then they enjoy it. Initially there is a lot of juice you experience in those chewing gum. And you keep chewing and then after some time what happens? All the rasa goes off. Isn't it? Then it's simply an exercise for the jaws. You just keep chewing and there's nothing, there's no rasa. And after some time you get bored and then you start making a bubble out of it. I've seen children do it. Then a little bigger bubble and then even a bigger bubble. And finally the bubble is so big and then it suddenly bursts and it sticks on your face and then you have to remove it. Have you seen this? It happens. Similarly, this is the situation with respect to material rasa. When we enter into material relationships, you know, it's exciting and then it's simply a drag and eventually it sticks in our consciousness in such a way that we just can't get it out of our system. We are miserable. But Krishna is what? What does Rupa Goswami define Krishna as? Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is filled with rasa and you enter a relationship with Krishna, it never deteriorates. Generally in this world we follow the economic law of diminishing marginal returns. Everything increases and then there is constant and then it diminishes. Always the graph is like this. That is the law of diminishing marginal returns. But Krishna, the Krishna rasa is only increasing with time. So this is the most wonderful aspect of Krishna, that he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. That's why, see, the proof, somebody may say, what is the proof? This is all simply a Gango talk, you know, because you are from the Krishna party, you are saying Krishna Zindabad, you know. No, but the evidence is, you see, our devotees for the last 50 years are chanting the same Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They are hearing the same pastimes of Krishna. Stealing butter. It is the same pastime. It's not that, you know, it's changing every year. It's not that we have a new version of the, you know, nowadays everything as a new version. iPhone has what, 7 now? 7. Every mobile, every computer have a new, improved version. Krishna's pastimes are same and we are relishing them. Devotees are talking about it always. That means there is rasa experienced with each passing year. Devotees, as they are evolving their consciousness, as they are progressing, they find more and more happiness. Can you imagine the materialistic people watching the same movie every day or singing the same song? Even if they sing the old songs, they want a remix version which is mixed with some fusion music and all that. But in Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful. Devotees find so much nourishment by hearing the same Srila Prabhupada melody. It just enters deeply into the consciousness. So there is something more to it than what meets the eye, you know, as they say. There is something definitely more and that is rasa, which the materialistic people can't fathom. They can't explain this phenomenon. And it's not that we are bored this year, so now Janmashtami, we are going to discuss about Krishna killing Kamsa, but every year we are doing this. So this year we'll make it a little different. You know, we'll have Krishna coming on a helicopter and fighting Kamsa. No, we don't have to do all those. We don't have to do what the materialistic people do because there is so much rasa in Krishna because Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. And we can see, I have seen personally some devotees relishing. I may not be on that level, but we get faith when we see devotees. I remember as a young brahmachari, once His Grace Jananivas Prabhu, all of you know him, the senior most pujari at Radha Madhav Temple ISKCON Mayapur. He had come to our temple and he fell sick. I was in the guest reception department. I was serving the guests. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was hosting him, and he told me to take care of him. And that time we didn't have the Bhaktivedanta hospital, so Jnaninivas Prabhu was admitted in a nearby clinic. He had malaria and he was very sick. So I would visit him, and during that time there was Nityananda Trayodashi festival. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a long 4-hour class, and there were 1,000 devotees seated. And it was an exciting class, and after the class he asked me, how is Jnaninivas Prabhu? I said, Maharaj is still recuperating, he's sick. So he said, can we go and see him tomorrow morning? I said, okay. And then morning we drove to the hospital. And there Jnaninivas Prabhu was lying on the bed, and Maharaj came close to him. Maharaj sat on his bed and said, Prabhu, yesterday was Nityananda Trayodashi. And Jnaninivas Prabhu said, oh, you spoke on Lord Nityananda's pastimes? Maharaj said, yes. Would you like to hear what I spoke? And Jnaninivas Prabhu said, yes, please tell me. Now, I pause this incident here. I was putting myself in that place. If my friend was sick, and I had to go to the hospital, and if I had given a class the previous day, and if he would ask me, what did you speak? I would tell him, oh, I spoke Jagai Madai pastime, and I spoke Lord Nityananda's birth, and how we met Lord Chaitanya, and these are the 5 things I spoke. And in 5 minutes, my description would be over. But I saw Maharaj, when Jnaninivas Prabhu said, can you please tell me what you spoke? He just folded his palms and he started, Om Ajnana Timirandasya. And it was with the same intensity as it was the previous day, previous night, where there were 1,000 people seated in the temple, and here he was the only one, and I and another brahmachari, we were standing nearby. And then after that, he started speaking with the same passion, the same intensity. And it went on for, believe it or not, 4 hours. The same class. And the whole class, Jnaninivas Prabhu, was just crying, you know, his tears. And that was an amazing sight. As a young new bhakta, I had no idea about what is rasa, but I could see that, oh, there are people who are experiencing something. And then a realization struck me, Jnaninivas Prabhu must have heard this so many times. And because at one point of the class, Maharaj stopped and he said, and once there were 2 big dacoits. And they were. So everybody knows the Jagai Madai pastime. But he was speaking as if he was speaking for the first time. And the person was hearing it, he was also absorbed as if, you know. So they were present. They were entering. They were on a different dimension of reality. Which I couldn't access, but I felt sheltered. I felt protected. I felt that, oh, I'm in a very wonderful place. So there are people who, I know I've seen Prahladananda Maharaj, who when he narrates Krishna's pastime, there's a young brahmachari, I would hear from his disciples, how he would read from Krishna book during dinner time, and sometimes the lights would go off, he would continue reading because he had memorized the whole book. And you see the verses he knows, you know, in his classes, as young brahmacharis, when he would give class, we would hear and we would have a game. We would try to count the number of shlokas he would quote. 100, 108, 110. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj would tell us, Prahladananda Maharaj is from the shloka loka. You know, he is swimming in the ocean of transcendental sound vibration. So this is the point. The point is, Krishna is full of rasa, and we need to connect to Krishna somehow. And that's what these pastimes are encouraging us to do. Recently for Gaur Purnima, you know, I was hearing His Holiness Kadam Kanan Swami Maharaj's classes. So this was a very ISKCON desiratory. For those of you who know, ISKCON desiratory is like an ocean. So many lectures. Everybody in ISKCON, whose classes are there. So much nectar. So I was hearing Kadam Kanan Maharaj's class in Canberra, Australia. Gaur Purnima class. 1 hour class. First 30 minutes, he is just challenging the devotees. All devotees in the audience. And he says, why should we celebrate Gaur Purnima? And somebody said, because Lord Chaitanya is God. Who says Lord Chaitanya is God? The Acharya say, who? How can you believe the Acharya? They could be lying. So he started challenging. And as I was hearing, I knew he's coming to a point. But first 30 minutes was, he completely shook the devotees. They just couldn't defend Krishna consciousness. Because he had answers for everything. He was just smashing them. And then after half an hour he said, so, now that I have sufficiently destroyed your faith, now I am going to answer my own questions. And then how did he answer for the next half an hour? He began like this. He said, trust me, there are no answers. beyond a certain point, we can't simply use our intelligence to debate and establish Krishna. We need to love Krishna. We need to experience a relationship with Krishna. And then he said, you know, you give me an argument, I'll tear it to pieces and throw it out of the window. Because there is no end to intellectual debates. He said, are we experiencing the Lord's presence in our heart? And then he spoke the whole class on love. And then at the end of the class, everyone, you know, I could feel that also. So nourishing. So this is the point. This is what is happening in Vrindavan. They are simply relishing Krishna's pastimes. In fact, it is said that the gopis, in the morning they would go with their butter, pot of butter. Vikritu kaman kilagopa kanya murari padar pita chitta vritti dadyadikam moha vashadavochad govinda damo dharamadhaveti. Vikritu kaman kilagopa kanya. The gopis would go with their butter, dahi, curd. But as they would be going, murari padar pita chitta vritti, their consciousness would be fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. And therefore, instead of saying, dadyadikam moha vashadavochat, instead of saying, butter for sale, curd for sale, because they were in moha, they were in illusion because of intense remembrance of Krishna, they would land up saying, govinda damodara madhaveti. So this is what happens in Vrindavan. Everyone is chanting Krishna's names. In fact, as soon as they would get up, as soon as the residents of Vrindavan would get up in the morning, Uttaya gopyo pararatra bhoge smritva yashoda sutabalakelim gayanti procher dadimantayantyo govinda damodara madhaveti. Uttaya gopyo, as soon as they would get up, immediately smritva, they would remember yashoda suta, Krishna's balakelim, Krishna's childhood pastimes. And then they would go and churn the butter, dadimantayantu, and only sing about Krishna. Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. In fact, this chanting of Krishna's names is so contagious in Vrindavan that, believe it or not, even Krishna lands up chanting his own names. Yashodaya gadamulukhalena Gokanta Pashena Nibadyamanam Ruroda Mandam Navanita Bhoji Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. This is a beautiful verse. It's connected to this chapter where Mother Yashoda is churning butter and the whole pastime happened. So it is explained how Yashodaya Gadam Ulukkalena. Mother Yashoda, with her intense emotions of love and affection, she tied Krishna to a grinding mortar. Ulukkalena. And Gokhanta Pashena Nibadyamanam. She wanted to stop Krishna from doing mischief. So Krishna was tied to the wooden grinding mortar and he was not happy. So what did he do? He was crying, Rurodha. And he was breathing heavily. Rurodha Mandam Navanita Bhoji. Navanita Bhoji means one who plunders butter. He's a thief who steals butter. So this Navanita Bhoji, Krishna, the stealer of butter, he was crying. And what was he saying as he was crying? Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. When I first time read it, I was surprised. I said, oh, Krishna is also chanting Govinda. Then I saw the devotees and my questions were answered, because I saw that, you know, in ISKCON also we have a lingo. We have a certain language, certain culture. And I saw the devotees, for everything they say Hari Bol. So if somebody is getting married, oh, Hari Bol. And somebody is divorced, oh, marriage is Hari Bol. Somebody gets a job, oh, Hari Bol. And you lost, oh, your Hari Bol, huh? Your job is gone. So for everything, we have Hari Bol as the word. So similarly, in Vrindavan, for everything there is Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. I come from a small town where also, you know, when they have to say anything, they say Govinda. For everything, they just shout Govinda. So this is the culture of Vrindavan, and this is what is happening in Vrindavan, and this is what Rupa Goswami is telling us. Because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, we can experience this. Now I know the question that comes in the mind of many devotees when we hear these pastimes. How can I also feel the same rasa? How can I also, you know, love Krishna? How can I also feel the same joy in chanting the same names? same pastime. Because generally we see many of us, we are scared. Or after some time we want something different. We get distracted. So can we also experience rasa with Krishna? There are many things, many ways to discuss this topic, but I'll just cover 3 points. There are 3 ways we could also feel rasa in our relationship with Krishna. Now, this may appear a cliche, you know. It's very, we have spoken it so many times, everybody talks about it, and that is sadhana, spiritual practice. It's ironical, as we get older, we may do other things other than hearing and chanting. But as we get older, we need to do more. You know, just like when you get older, we can't eat much. Our appetite goes down and we have to think twice what we eat. Health is not so good. But hearing chanting, sadhana, as we get older, the food, the nourishment of sadhana has to go more. So this is very important actually. And there is, it can never be, we can never say, you know, it can never, we can never come to a point where we say, oh, a lot of discussion on sadhana, enough. That stage will never come because this is it. There are 9 processes given. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So we have to chant more, we have to hear. And that will awaken the dormant love for Krishna. You know, once we had the good fortune of hearing His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Swami Maharaj. There was an announcement made in our temple that Maharaj has come to ISKCON Juhu. And devotees, if they want, they can go and hear the class. So immediately we rushed, a few of us brahmacharis, we took the train. We traveled and we reached just before he arrived for the class. And he was at that time 90 years old, 91 I think. And he was the oldest disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He spent more than, you know, 70 years practicing Krishna consciousness, preaching. Such a legendary spiritual personality. So we were very excited to take his darshan. And he came, you know, struggling to walk. His disciples brought him. He sat on the Vyasasana. And that half an hour class, he spoke pure Krishna pastimes. And every few minutes, he would stop and he would say, "So, you're chanting Hare Krishna?" He would look at the audience. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Naam lo, naam, naam." And then again he would speak. How Krishna would steal butter. Mother Yashoda would chastise him. And then he would hide behind the pillar. Same pastime that we have heard so many times. And then how, when Mother Yashoda would come, Krishna would immediately pretend as if he had not stolen the butter. And he would look at his own reflection on the wall. And then he would look at the reflection and he would tell the reflection that, "Why did you steal the butter?" He would chastise the reflection. And then when Mother Yashoda would come, he would tell Mother Yashoda that, "I didn't steal. He was the one who stole." On another occasion, when so this is what Maharaj was speaking. On another occasion, Krishna told Mother Yashoda that, "What to do? You know, you have put such jewelry, and this is so hot. So I put my hands in the butter to cool my hands." So Mother Yashoda would see these pastimes, and she would simply laugh, and she would be joyful. And then Nanda Maharaj would come after this pastime, and then now Nanda Maharaj, Krishna would run to Nanda Maharaj, and then Nanda Maharaj would keep Krishna on his lap, and Mother Yashoda would chastise Krishna, saying, "Why do you steal butter?" And Krishna would say, "My mother is lying." And then Nanda Maharaj would tell Krishna that, "Yes, you sit only on my lap. Your mother is lying. In fact, we should not chastise you. We should chastise your mother." And then he would chastise Mother Yashoda. And then suddenly Krishna would, because he's restless, he would get up from Nanda Maharaj's lap and he would run towards Mother Yashoda. So like this, these are very simple, sweet pastimes which. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand Bhagavan ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai. So then Maharaj went on to speak these pastimes for half an hour. And again, Harinam, Harinam, chant, hear. And then after the class, he walked to the door. His car was waiting for him. And as he was walking towards the door, he was meeting the devotees. He was touching their head, blessing them. You know, he was barely able to stand. But he would look at anyone, he would look. "You are chanting Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, hear Krishna, Krishna Katha, no other way." And he went to the car and then he left. And I and another friend of mine, we had gone to meet him and we were just, you know, we were so stunned by the whole experience. He's 91 years old, He spent his whole life in Krishna consciousness, and this is the essence. After so many years, he's only asking and appealing to all of us to take shelter of Krishna. Of course, we need to clarify here, an important clarification. You know, we are not undermining the importance of services, engaging our propensities in Krishna service. That has to happen. You know, we can't artificially sit and chant the whole day. Our minds would destroy us. So we have to engage our body, our mind in Krishna service. I think that goes without saying. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, when he would hear book distribution scores, what would he say? Double it. You've seen Srila Prabhupada. But we need to remember that Srila Prabhupada said double it for Krishna. That for Krishna is often what we forget. So we need to always remember that we are doing it for Krishna. And therefore the morning program, the sadhana, the chanting, this is our shelter. Because this is the forum where we remember why we are doing what we are doing. Rest of the day we are doing a lot of things. In fact, if we don't connect to Krishna now, then rest of the day, we may sometimes wonder, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? So this is Krishna, Krishna Katha. So what is the first way to connect to Krishna and experience rasa? Sadhana. Spiritual practice. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmarjita papa choram chaura graganyam purusham namami. Now this is Billa Mangal Thakur's poem. He has composed 8 beautiful verses glorifying the greatest thief. He doesn't mention Krishna's name until the very end. And he says, this is the greatest thief who has come to Vrindavan. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram. He steals butter. And he also steals gopangananam cha dukula choram. He steals away the distress of the gopas and gopis. And then he steals what? Aneka janmarjita papa choram. He steals the sinful results of our sinful activities, which has been accumulated for lifetimes. He just steals them all. And he is the number one thief. Chora graganyam. And to such a thief I offer my obeisances. He is the chore number one. And then the next verse says, like this, 8 verses. All different aspects of this thief. Shri Radhikaya hridayasya choram navam buddha shamalakanta choram padashritanam cha samasta choram chaura graganyam purusham namami. He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Shri Radhikaya hridayasya choram. And then navam buddha shamalakanta choram. He has stolen the color from the monsoon cloud. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that Krishna is the best friend of the cloud for 2 reasons. Anybody knows what are the 2 reasons why Krishna is the best friend of the cloud? Monsoon cloud. Why is Krishna considered the best friend of the monsoon cloud? Yes, that is the first. First reason is he has taken the same color, complexion of the monsoon cloud. What is the second reason? Srila Prabhupada writes, just like when the monsoon cloud comes, people have been suffering from the heat of the summer. As soon as they see the cloud, they feel relief. From the heat. Similarly, as soon as Krishna enters our heart, devotees who are suffering from the heat of material existence, they feel relief. They feel succor, relief, shelter. So like this, Srila Prabhupada explains. So, this is it. Sadhana, spiritual practice is the first and the foundation of our relationship with Krishna. You know, there's one brahmachari was giving a class once and he described Krishna entering Mathura. We all know this pastime from Krishna book, right? But the way he spoke, I remember I was so fascinated. After the class, I told him, Prabhu, wow, amazing class. How did you speak all this? Where did you get all this? You know, he said it's from Krishna book. I said, really? Because he described the way Mathura city was made and what happened and how they welcomed Krishna, the finer details. But the way he spoke it, I felt, it was something out of Prabhupada's books. And then I asked him, When I have read Prabhupada's book, when I have read Krishna book, but why I couldn't connect to it. And then he told me how he prepared for the class. He said, I read one page of the chapter and I closed the book and I spoke to myself that page. And then when I spoke to myself, I remembered certain things and I forgot certain things. Then I read it again the second time, slowly. And as I was reading the second time, I knew what I had forgotten the first time. And then again I closed the book. Then again I recalled to myself. So two times I had read and two times I had recalled. And then I went to the next page. I did the same thing. So 8 pages chapter I read over a period of 4 or 5 days. And then I just spoke the whole chapter to myself a few times. And then I came and gave the class. Wow. Then I realized this person, what he had done. I got the realization that he had actually, his mind, you know, his intelligence, his consciousness had touched Krishna. He had entered the city of Mathura. Because he was with Krishna, you know, he didn't do anything spectacular. He just allowed the sound vibration, he allowed Krishna to enter his system. So the point I'm saying is it's so simple actually. Sadhana is not a very complicated thing. So this is the first point. Now there are devotees who always ask this question, Prabhu, we are doing sadhana, we are chanting, but still I don't feel loved by Krishna. So then comes the second and more important point, and that is we need patience. This is also a cliche, patience. We heard so many times, utsaha, nishchaya, dairyad. But yes, we are right now at the stage of anartha nivritti. Satsurup Maharaj calls this as the vast intermediate zone. Many times we are lost here, we get doubts. And we need patience, we need to wait, we need to know that Krishna is there. His Holiness Sachinandana Swami Maharaj gave a very beautiful hope-giving class once, and he explained how we need to have faith that and patience, knowing that Krishna is there and he loves us. He said when gopis were very disturbed because Krishna left them during the middle of the Ras Leela, and when Krishna reappeared, the gopis asked him, what kind of a lover are you, Krishna? Are you a lover who receives little love and gives a lot more in return? Or are you a lover who reciprocates only as much as you get? Or are you a third type of lover who receives a lot of love but doesn't give back anything? So indirectly the gopis wanted to tell Krishna that you are the third type of lover who gets a lot of love from his devotees but he doesn't reciprocate. But they were cultured women. They couldn't tell Krishna directly that you are bad or you are wrong. So they just asked a question. And what is Krishna's answer? Krishna said, no, I am not in these three categories. I am the fourth type of lover. When I receive love, I appear to be not reciprocating because I want to intensify the hankering of my devotee. I want my devotee to call for me, and that in that intensity, I enjoy that, to see my devotee intensely calling out for me. And I also know that that devotee's remembrance of me in that moment fills his heart with divine spiritual happiness. So then Maharaj gave an explanation. Sachinandan Maharaj, he said, he paraphrased Krishna's words. He said, Krishna was telling them, as you were crying for me, I was there hiding behind the trees. I was watching all of you. So similarly, then Maharaj said, we are chanting for years. We may feel, oh, Krishna is not reciprocating. We should know, Krishna is there, right behind the trees. He is there, he is watching us. He is waiting to see how much we are wanting to desperately connect to Krishna. One painting gives me a lot of hope. I have seen it in a Back to Godhead magazine where Billamangal Thakur is sitting. Have you seen this painting? He is sitting with his veena and he is chanting. He is blind. He is a blind devotee. He is chanting Krishna's names. And little Krishna, very attractive, beautiful boy, he is sitting right in front of Billamangal Thakur and he is sitting like this. Have you seen this painting? And such an enchanting smile. So when I see that painting, you know, I feel so much hope in Krishna consciousness. I feel I am also blind. You know, we don't know what we are doing. But Krishna is there. We can't see him. That's my problem. That's not Krishna's problem. But Krishna is there. Whatever difficulties, whatever struggles we are going through. And we are very lucky. No, we got connected to a spiritual path where Krishna, we have been given Krishna. If you see many Christian saints in the Christian tradition, they have a lot of struggles in terms of connecting to God. What they call the famous dark night of the soul. I think Saint John from Spain, he was the first time he bought this concept. How, you know, there is a kind of spiritual crisis. We don't know. A person goes through struggle and he is wondering what is happening. It's basically an existential crisis. Who am I? One of the most famous Christian saints, Saint Paul, after 45 years, he says in his... One very good thing I like about this Christian monks is they are brutally honest. You know, many of them. So they write. He writes in his memoir that for 45 years, he was bewildered. He didn't know whether God exists. He went through struggle. Even Mother Teresa, one of her very close friends, he released letters that she wrote to him over 50 years, expressing doubt, confusions about God's existence, feeling dry, no reciprocation from the Lord. But as we discussed in today's class, we are lucky because we know, see, we are not vaguely talking about God. We know who is God, we know his name, we know what he likes, we know his parents' names, we know his brother's name, we know his friend's name, we know where he stays, what he does. So we have a lot of opportunity to connect to Krishna. So this is the second principle, patience. We need to execute our sadhana, practicing the principle of patience. And the third and most important is association of devotees. It's only in the association that we can feel Krishna's presence. Lord tells Arjuna in Adi Puran that I am not in Vaikuntha. Naham tishtami vaikunte na yogina mridayeshuva. Yatra gayanti mat bhakta tatra tishtami narada. Sorry, it tells Narad Muni that I stay in a place where devotees chant my names. I am not in the hearts of the yogis nor in Vaikuntha. So he's indirectly basically telling us how it is in this association we can find Krishna's presence. One of the most some of the most wonderful devotees of Krishna have been the Alwars of South India. Once one of the Alwars was traveling chanting Krishna's names. It rained heavily. He entered a small hut and only one person could sleep there. It was empty, and he opened it and he went in and only one person could lie down there. So it was raining heavily outside, so he closed the hut and he lied down, taking rest. And after some time there was a knock and he opened the door. That was the second devotee, the second Alwar had come there. And he asked, can I get shelter in this hut? But there is hardly any place here. So the first one had already been taking rest there. He said, if one person can lie down, two can sit. Come in. So he came in and they both sat and they were chanting and hearing Krishna Katha. And after some time, again there was a knock. And this time when he opened the door, there was the third Alwar. He was also traveling by the same road. He said, oh, there's only place for two people. But is there? I want to get some shelter. They said, come in. If two people can sit, three can stand. So he also entered. And then three of them, the whole night, they were chanting, hearing. And at the end of it, in the morning, all three of them spontaneously, they said, we were not three, we were four. Because they perceived the presence of the fourth person. And that was Krishna. So this is a very beautiful poem in which this whole pastime is described. That how we need to connect to Krishna through association of devotees. You know, I had one experience I want to share in this assembly. You know, I had been preaching for some years and there were two boys I was cultivating. So they became big, they were about to get married. So then they told me, Prabhu, why don't we go to a holy place just before our marriage and, you know, we could spend some time doing Krishna Katha. Now for 11 years I was giving lectures to them. So I thought, okay, they are my, you know, counselees, or I'm training them. So we said, okay. So we went to a holy place and we stayed in a lodge. And that evening we were supposed to go for darshan, but it rained heavily. So we couldn't go out. So I got an idea. I said, okay, let us do something. I have Srila Prabhupada's class and I had a speaker on my iPod. So I played the class. I said, you hear this class attentively, and after this class, there's going to be a quiz. I don't know what I was planning, but it all happened spontaneously. It was a 45-minute class.
So we three of us heard it attentively. I also heard it attentively because I had to ask questions. And both of them were hearing. So after the class got over, it was a 45 minutes class. After the class, I said, okay, now we'll have the first round. Let us recall whatever we heard or what we learnt. So they started recalling, and then I remembered something, then somebody else remembered something. And we didn't realize, we spent half an hour just recalling and I thought I don't remember everything from the class, but I ended up remembering most of it. Because in the association, the discussion. And it was such a nice experience. And after that I said, okay, now the second round. What did you relish in the class? What did you like in the class? So then again a discussion. And then I realized these two boys, whom I have been giving classes to, they actually know a lot in Krishna consciousness, but I never heard them because I only would give classes to them. But here they were speaking. You know what happens when you speak something you like and then you remember something else connected to that point and then some other pastime or something. So then actually we were churning the whole thing. And then I said, okay, now the third round. Third round is, what do you think after this class we could resolve in our lives? What we could live by? So what I learned, what I liked, or what I want to live by, or what I recall after hearing the class, what I relished, or what I would like to resolve. So we had these three rounds, and then I saw the watch. We had spent 2 hours churning the class. The class was 45 minutes. And then at the end of it, we were so Krishna conscious, and I felt so rich. Generally I am giving classes, and I felt sometimes dry. I also need to hear. But I felt I heard classes from these two devotees. And they had so much to share. It was such an amazing experience. I felt that it's really nourishing. And then I met His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. And I was sharing this with him. And he said, I also hear classes. I said, you hear Prabhupada's classes? He said, no. I hear anybody's, any devotee's classes. I was so inspired to hear that. You know, he goes to ISKCON Desiretri or other websites. And he hears devotees' Bhagavatam classes online or the recorded. And he feels nourished. So this is our hope. And in our temple also, a few of us, we try to do this. A few brahmacharis. We meet once in 3 months, 4 months. From morning 5 to evening 9, we are together. We just do hearing, chanting, once in 4 months, 3-4 months. And we play some class, and then we have a discussion on that class, or we do kirtan, bhajan. And believe it or not, every devotee whom I talk to after this experience, most of them have this realization. Prabhu, I can now trust myself, you know. I know that I can chant. Because many times we are scared at the thought of chanting, hearing. We feel, oh, I can't do it. But in association, it's possible. And because ultimately our process is what? Sankirtan. We need to come together. And when we do that, we will actually trust ourselves. We can actually chant. We may not have taste like the pure devotees, but in association, we love the process of hearing and chanting. And as they say, I heard one Nanjan Swami Maharaj share this example that if you eat food from a contaminated plate, if a person has tuberculosis, and if you eat food from his plate or if he sneezes, the germs in the air, they carry the disease and you also get infected. Similarly, if devotees are there who are sincerely aspiring to love Krishna, and if you hear and chant in their association and they keep sneezing, they keep saying Krishna, Krishna. So because we are in their association, we also get that disease. We also get attraction to Krishna. So let us practice these three principles. First, sadhana, the spiritual practice. Second, patience. And third, association. I would like to end with one small incident. His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, when I was serving him in the guest department, I was a new bhakta. I had no idea about how to serve sannyasis. I was very, very scared. So after serving him in the night, and as I was leaving, I put the mosquito net for him. And as I was going out, he looked at me and he said, you can't go, wait. So I thought I had not completed my service. I said, yes, Maharaj, any service? He said, I don't leave anyone like that. I don't leave without giving them Krishna. So I didn't know what to make of this. So I just kept quiet. He said, come, I'll give you Krishna. So I thought some mystical experience is going to happen now. I sat in front of him and he sat and he spoke for maybe 10 minutes, some pastime from Krishna book, which I don't remember now. Some pastime, Trinavarta, I think. He just spoke the whole pastime in his own words. And after 10 minutes, oh, I understood what he meant. When I want to give you Krishna means, he wanted to share some Krishna katha. So I paid my obeisances and I was leaving. I said, oh, no, you can't go. I gave you Krishna. Now you give me Krishna. So I remembered little bit here and there, whatever I knew, I just shared. And then I said, and he was just sitting, you know, like this, hearing attentively from a new bhakta's broken words. And then after I spoke, he said, yes, now our transaction is complete. So all that you've done the whole day, getting hot water for me, getting prasadam and doing all this seva, ultimately this is the service. I give you Krishna, you give me Krishna. Such a nice experience. But somehow, you know, I over the years, other things become more important than this simple thing, simple exchange of Krishna consciousness. I hope and pray that in all of your association, I'll go back to my basics and we all can help each other remember Krishna and revive our dormant affection for Krishna. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand Bhagavan ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.